Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Our text is from the Gospel. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Merry Christmas Eve Day. At Christmas, God gave us the greatest gift of all time. God sent his son Jesus into the world to become the Lord and Savior of all. He came to live a perfect life and fulfill the law completely because we couldn't. Jesus went to the cross to lay down his life to pay the price of sin once for all time. Jesus died and was buried. But on Easter morning, he arose victorious over sin and death. And because he lives and reigns and rules and will for all eternity, we know that our sins are forgiven, and one day we will be blessed to go and be with God in heaven. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift of all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now we could stop right there, and some of you may wish that we would. We've just shared with each other the great news of salvation by faith. Faith, salvation freely given to you and me. But in the face of this great good news, what do? We know we cannot earn our way into heaven. We know we do not deserve it in any way. So how do we respond? I think Mary, the mother of our Lord, gives us an answer. Mary gives us a parallel answer to one that I mentioned to you about 3 years ago in January in the Old Testament. There we find another faithful woman that we just sang about by the name of Hannah. As you recall, Hannah's greatest sorrow was that she did not have a child. And so she went to the Lord in fervent prayer and said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you for service in the temple." Well, God granted her request, and the baby was born, and they named him Samuel. And when Samuel was old enough, he went to the temple to serve the old priest Eli. As you recall, the time came when God wanted to talk directly to Samuel, and so in the middle of the night, he called out his name. Samuel hears the voice, assumes it's Eli, runs and says, "Here I am, what do you need?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." Well, this is repeated until finally Eli realizes God is calling to Samuel. And so he said, "The next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Young Samuel is brought to the temple. He serves old Eli. And then God calls him to be a prophet and to lead the people, to call them to repentance and to point ahead to the Messiah who would one day come. And so when God calls again, Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Do you say that to God? Do you say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening"? Do you know what I've sometimes said? Do you know what I've heard other people say? If not with actual words, with actions, instead of saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," we say, "Hey, listen, Lord, your servant is about to speak." We sometimes get a false sense of who we are. We are sinful people. We were born with original sin, which means we inherited sin. We inherited a condition that the Apostle Paul described as saying, "The good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not do, that's what I end up doing." Because of our sinful human nature, we tend to think the world revolves around us. We tend to think what we think is of most importance. Samuel learned as a young man to say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." And Samuel served the Lord and proclaimed that one day the Messiah would come to save his people. Now we're going to pause here and take what I'll call a little side trip. I want to talk about the power of prayer that Hannah had, the awesome opportunity that you and I have to pray. I've had a Bank of America checking account, savings account, since 1982 when I first moved to California. Now they just opened a couple branches here in Lexington. What do you suppose would happen if I walked into the bank and said, "I want a loan. I'd please like to speak to the chairman of the board of the Bank of America"? What do you think the response would be? Well, yes, sit right there, sir. We'll get him on the phone. He'll be with you in just a minute. Or do you think maybe they'd say, well, can't get the chairman of the board. We'll let you speak to the president of the local branch. Or is it more likely the line over there for service representatives, if you'll sit there, we'll get to you when we have a moment. My chances of talking to the CEO or the president would be non-existent. Neither I nor my loan application would be of enough importance for them. And yet, that's exactly what you and I are offered. When we have a need, when we want to talk to God in prayer, we don't have to make an appointment with Pastor. We don't call Fort Wayne and say, President Stuckwish, could you get in touch with God for me? We don't call St. Louis and say, President Harrison, could you connect me with God? No, at any moment of any time, you can simply bow your head and say, Dear Heavenly Father, Dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and immediately you have the ear of God. God who created the whole world. God who is still in control. God who has promised to hear and answer every single prayer. You can go to your God and know that the creator of the entire world is listening. How awesome is that? Although we are weak and sinful, although we are not always the people we want to be for God, God loves us and forgives us and says he will always listen to our petitions. We can return to him again and again, asking love and forgiveness and seeking strength and power and comfort. Yes, we should approach God with awe and humility. We should go as weak and unworthy servants, but we can go to God anytime, anywhere, and know he will hear us. Again, young Samuel learned to say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As he grew, he did faithfully proclaim that one day the Messiah would come and save his people. In the New Testament, we're given another example of this same attitude. A text that I think gives us the encouragement to seek the Lord's will for our lives and try to live lives of service. In our text, we find one of the great statements of Scripture where Mary says, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. So we're going to talk a little bit about Mary and her situation and what she said. We want to remind ourselves that our attitude should be, Lord, I am your servant. And I'm ready to do what you call me to do in life. Well, let's set the scene. In the town of Nazareth, a young woman named Mary. She's pledged to marry a man named Joseph. We assume since young girls in that era married in their teens that that's all she was. Just a teenager. No offense, teenagers, but just a teenager. And also tells us that Mary was a virgin. She had never been with a man. And this virgin gets a greeting from an angel Gabriel, and he says, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. I think the text is very subtle here. It says Mary was greatly troubled. I suspect if an angel suddenly appeared in our bedroom and had words for us, we too would be greatly troubled. She was surprised and probably a bit afraid. What does the angel say? Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. Think about what the angel said to Mary. Guess what, Mary? You're going to have a baby. And not only are you going to have a baby, but your baby will be the Son of God. And not only will your baby be the Son of God, he's going to be the Savior of the world. And not only will your baby be called great, his kingdom will last forever. Doesn't surprise me that Mary might be a little bit overwhelmed to think that she had found favor with God and this miracle was going to happen with her. And then she asks a very practical question. How will this be since I am a virgin? And the answer from Gabriel is clear and simple. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God nothing is impossible. Let's note something here. When we tell the story of Jesus' birth, when we tell people we believe the good news that God sent his Son into the world, that he was born of a virgin named Mary, some people laugh. They smile. They're amused that you and I would believe such a story. Why do they laugh? Because in their world, it was impossible. What they really don't believe is the last part of Gabriel's message, for with God, nothing is impossible. If you don't believe in God, if your God doesn't have the power to do miracles, then the story is impossible, isn't it? So when we tell the story of Jesus, when we remember to be a witness to God, when we talk about the power of God, we need to boldly state that we do believe in a God who is a God of miracles, a God with whom nothing is impossible. Mary would become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. The child to be born would be God's son. A miracle would occur and she would give birth to Jesus. Now let's leave Mary for a minute and see how the text applies to us. First of all, it again tells us what I've already mentioned, how much God loves us. Loves us so much that to pay the price of sin, he sent his son. And his son would pay the price. That was God's plan of salvation. Man had fallen into sin. Man needed a savior. And so he sent Jesus to pay the price of sin once for all time. To pay for your sins and to pay for mine. And the text clearly tells us this is no ordinary baby. The Holy Spirit is to be the Father. He was to be called Great and the Son of the Most High, and he would reign over the house of Israel, not for a little while, but forever. Jesus was the Messiah who had been promised so long, prophesied by Samuel and Isaiah and Elijah and many others before him. And his ministry was finally announced, as we heard recently, by John the Baptist, where he's pointed and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Do you wonder what thoughts were going through Mary's mind that day? It's actually a song that's been written called "Mary, Did You Know?" It's kind of interesting. Was she thinking, "Am I having a dream, or did that really happen?" Did she ask, "What are mom and dad or grandpa and grandma going to say?" Did she say, "What's Joseph going to say?" Did she wonder what Joseph was going to do? Did she wonder if anyone would accuse her? Because she knew that the punishment for adultery was to be stoned. We don't know most of what Mary was thinking and wanted to ask that day, but we do know what she did say. "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." Mary simply stated that she was willing to do what God asked her to do. I'm sure she didn't know all that was going to happen. I'm sure she had questions and doubts. But she expressed a willingness to do what God asked her to do. It's an attitude that all Christians need to have. It's one you and I need to renew and work on from time to time. The attitude that says we too are the Lord's servants and we want to do what God has for us to do in this life. An attitude says I may not always understand everything that's happening. I may have fears and doubts. But an attitude that says I know that with God nothing is impossible. And then trust that God will guide and direct and strengthen us. The greatness of Mary, to me, was her willingness to do what God asked. The greatness was that she was used by God for his purposes. Mary was great because of what God did through her. God may have in mind some great things for you to do, but I suspect he has many small yet very important things for you to do as you faithfully live your Christian life. This Christmas Eve day, let's spend some time thinking about what God has done for us. Let's think about the gift of his son. Think about who he used to fulfill his purpose. And renew our understanding and our hope that God wants to use us to touch the lives of others. Let us truly remember that with God, nothing is impossible. Jesus came to be your Savior. Jesus came to save us. In response, our Christmas attitude, our daily attitude needs to be, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And with Mary, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." And then may God use us to show His love to others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.